Lord's really been talking to me about the altar. And I want to start reading in Genesis. And it seemed like in the Old Testament there was, they built altars a lot. They put forth altars. We know it's a type and shadow of what we are today. We come to Christ. He's our altar. We come to Him. And we know this bench here is a public sacred place, a wooden bench. But when souls come here, they're actually coming to Jesus. And I looked up the definition of the altar in the dictionary. A place, a raised platform where sacrifices are made to God. A sacred purpose in a place of worship, which what we have. Prayer. We can come to Jesus and put our desires on the altar. When we come, you know, I found in my life that an altar of prayer is so important. I think it's in Matthew 7 where it says we come, we have a secret closet, we can go to the Lord in prayer. But wherever that altar is, the Lord will meet us. I know when I was saved, I wasn't saved at a public altar. I was saved in a home, but I was saved because I came to Christ. So we want to encourage us tonight. We've heard a lot of messages in this meeting. They've been a great encouragement to me. I've enjoyed it very, very much. And I just want to encourage us tonight, all of us, to take these messages, take these things, and put things on the altar. If the Lord talks to you about something, grow. You know, if we go through a meeting and we don't grow spiritually, then it's not going to do us much good. But I'm sure the Lord has talked to us about something that we can put into our life and start growing and put it on the altar. I want to talk about Noah a little bit. We all know the story of Noah. It rained and rained, and he was, God told him to take his wife and first of all build this big ark, and people mocked him. But Noah built this ark, he obeyed God, and the Lord told him, you can go in there and your wife and your three sons and their wives and then the animals, and you've got to do this because the world is so wicked. I'm going to destroy the world. And all this happened to Noah. And we think about, he was a human being. He felt that. But you know, when he was in that ark for so long, months passed, he was in the ark waiting for the water to go down, waiting where he could go on dry ground again. And in his mind, his first thing when he got off that ark was he built an altar and prayed to God and thanked the Lord and sent that sweet incense up to God. And God smelled it. And I want to read just a little bit of that. We won't read the whole story because you know. But 8 and 15, it says, and God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark. Thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl, of cattle, of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Because God smelled this sweet savour, because he wants a relationship with us. And when Noah built that altar, he got to thinking about, you know, I like this. I love this. I love Noah loving me. I love a relationship with people. And so he thought this, and he said, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to destroy everybody again until the very end of time. He will not. And we've had a lot of rain lately, but you know what? We're not going to have a flood. We're not going to have a flood where the world will be destroyed, because God promised we won't. until, he said, the seed time sun's going to come up in the morning. The moon's going to come out at night. We're going to have summer and winter. Everything's going to continue until the end of the world. That was our promise because Noah's love for God. You know, it's just thinking about us, how we can move God by our putting things on the altar, how we can get closer to God by putting things on the altar. Now, you know, when we get saved, we repent of our sins. And then we go on and we go to another altar. We go to God and we ask him to cleanse us from that inbred sin and give us power and give us the Holy Spirit. And we can't get the Holy Spirit if we're a sinner. But when we're clean, we can come to God and we can put ourselves, a clean sacrifice, on the altar. And the Lord will give us the Holy Spirit. I know, I remember the night I was sanctified. It was in a kitchen in a little house there that we were renting in Michigan. And I had been saved a short time. And I believe, you know, I don't know the exact date, but I got saved in 1971 and it might have been the early part of 74, 73, I'm not real sure. I didn't write it down, but it was somewhere. I'd been saved a couple years or so, a little while. But I knew that I needed more. I knew that I needed something more from God. I knew I was really saved, and I really hadn't been taught a lot about it. But I knew in my heart I needed more from the Lord. I remember that I'd been out driving the car and turned on the radio, and there was an old song that I used to like. It wasn't like real wicked, but it was just something I used to like, and I enjoyed it. I listened to it, and now I come home and got thinking about that, and the Lord started talking to my heart. He said, you know, you don't want to go back. You don't want to go back to where you used to be, do you? No, Lord, I want to stay saved. And the Lord began to talk to me, be careful of the music. Be careful how you live. And I said, yes, Lord, I need more power. I need more power. I never want to go back into sin. And the Lord started dealing with my heart. This is why people sometimes backslide, because they don't go on to the second work. They don't put it on the altar. But you know, that night, the Lord dealt with my heart about some other things too. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to get alone with God tonight. And the baby's sleeping, and we had a little Tammy then, and Jerry was sleeping. I'm going to go in the kitchen. And I pulled up a kitchen chair, and I got on my knees, and I said, I'm going to stay here until the Lord does something for me. And I began to pray, Lord, I need more power. I cried, I wept, I said, I don't want to go back in sin. I want to be holy, I want to be godly. I want to be what you want me to be. Well, you know, it wasn't a pile of stones. It was just a little kitchen chair. But it was my soul calling out to God, calling, putting things on the altars, saying, Lord, I'm willing to turn my back on these things. I want to go to heaven no matter what. You know, saints, I'll just tell you, about 2 in that night, it was about 2 a.m., the Holy Spirit just came down and flooded me. I mean, I didn't really know. I was so happy. I got up. It felt like angels. I couldn't see them. I was in that kitchen. I was just gloriously sanctified. I have no doubt of my sanctification. And I know every one of us might not have the same experience, but we need to know it. We need to know that we're sanctified. We need to get down with God until we know it. And you know, I remember calling Grandma, and I told Grandma, she was kind of like my pastor, you know. And I said, Grandma, I said, something happened in this kitchen. I was praying to the Lord for more power and to get help. And I said, it's like angels that's in this kitchen right now. I said, it's wonderful. It's glorious. And she said, well, honey, you got sanctified. She would tell me, you got sanctified, the Holy Spirit. Oh, it was wonderful. But you know, that's what the Lord wants us to do. Put our all on the altar. And you know, after you're sanctified, there's things that come up in your life, and God puts his finger on it. And I'm not saying sin. I'm just saying things, your attitude or just whatever. God will tell you, no, you didn't say that just right. And you need to ask the Lord to forgive you. Well, that's not asking forgiveness for sins. People in the world, they get this all confused. You're a sinless person. You're living free from sin. But the Lord, we're still human. We make mistakes. We need to correct those things. I remember another thing, too. We need to make our wrongs right. After I was saved, we have to put things on the altar. Some people have a difficulty going back and making their wrongs right, getting things straightened out. But that's what I was taught. When you're saved and you repent, you get baptized, if you need to make wrongs right, you go and do that. That's putting things on the altar. That's being willing to be humble enough to ask forgiveness, to get things straightened up in your life. And the Lord will send the power. Until we do those things, we'll never have the power that we want until we are willing to die to ourselves and give our all to the Lord. There's things that we just have to put on the altar. And there's things that come up in our life that you know, think about that song that says, I take the dearest thing to me, if that's how it must be, for me to draw closer to you. I remember when we moved here to Oklahoma, or even my parents, I had to cut that tie, not completely, but, you know, it was hard to leave family. It was hard to leave, because of different things. You have a tie with them, and you love them, but sometimes you have to go where the Lord moves you, to go. The Lord tells you to go somewhere. You got to be willing to do that for your soul. And that thing, those things you have to put on the altar. If the Lord puts his finger on music, if the Lord puts his finger on dress, if the Lord puts his finger on your attitude, if the Lord puts his finger on anything, you have to be willing to sacrifice that and put it on the altar. This is how you'll grow spiritually and how you'll keep close to God. It's not a straitjacket. It's not bondage. It's this, I think about the song that says, the bondage to love sets me perfectly free. You know, and that's the way it is. When we love the Lord, it sets us perfectly free. But you know, Noah built that altar. Then I think about Abraham over here in Genesis 22. You know, Abraham, we won't tell the whole story, but you know about Isaac and how he was a promised son. But you know, the Lord told him in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. You know, I just thinking, I wonder what Abraham thought. Well, what about all, you know, Lord, he could have argued with him. He could have said, you know, this is my promised son. This is one you gave me. This is the love of my life. I love this child. And you're telling me to slay him, to put him on the altar? You know, that's just us, you know. The Lord may say, we would have put this on the altar. And, you know, and the Lord, and Abraham did. He obeyed the Lord. And he went on. And it says here, and the ninth verse, we'll skip a little bit, but Isaac went with him, and Abraham said, now remember what Isaac, he was such an obedient child, and he said in the seventh verse, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son, and he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now we know this is the Old Testament. To us, this seems like something that would not happen now. But it's just a type and shadow of teaching us that we must put things on the altar. There's times in our life that we have to do this. And you know, we have to give everything to God. God has to be first place. He has to be priority. If we ever want to be successful living for the Lord, Jesus and God must be priority in our life. And it says here, and he built an altar and he laid his son. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Oh, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it said to this day, it is the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. You know, isn't this a wonderful story? And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. You know, this is a great thing. He began to say, I'm going to bless. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. I'm telling you, dear ones, if you ever want to get close to the Lord, you must obey. You must obey. There are secret things that God will deal with you. He'll put his finger on it. If you don't obey, the Lord will deal with you individually. He wants to get you to heaven, and he'll put his finger on it, and he'll say, you need to obey. If you're willing to obey, he will pour out a blessing upon you that you cannot contain. The song says, I paid the price, and I obtained the prize. He saved my soul that was lost. There's another song that says about the altar. It says, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? It says you can never know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which you have prayed until body and soul he doth fully control and your all on the altar is laid. I tell you, this is the most serious thing in our life. When the Lord talks to our heart, to be willing to put it on the altar. Put it on the altar. I was thinking about confession. I remember Sister Opal Kelly told me that her first only husband she had, but anyway, he, as far as I know, he never got saved, but he was in a meeting not long before he died, and there was an altar call, and he was under conviction. I know we can't just, sometimes we can, though. We can really walk up here without conviction if we want to. We could do it. You know, there's sometimes we get up to preach and we really don't feel maybe a lot of emotion, but we do it by faith. We believe. We have faith in God. We can come and pray anytime. You can pray at home anytime. You can fall on your knees. You don't have to have a whirlwind pushing you on your knees. You don't have to have some big emotion. You know what you need to do. You can pray to the Lord, and the Lord will hear you, and you'll be surprised. There's been sometimes I would just start singing to the Lord. I just didn't feel anything at home. I'd be doing some dishes or something, just start singing a song and praising the Lord by myself, and the Lord's Spirit would come down and start blessing me. And sometimes we think, well, what did I do right? What did I do right? You know, but you know, you're just talking to the Lord. You're praying. You're singing. You're being joyful. Well, it's the same way with prayer. We may go and not feel anything, but God knows your heart, and you'll be surprised when God might just come down and pour such a blessing on you. You'll just never hardly get contained. What a blessing. Isn't that heaven to you sometimes? How God will just pour a blessing on you. But we must take it by faith sometimes. We have to know the Lord will help us. But anyway, back to Sister Opal's husband. He had such conviction, but he resisted it. And she said, she told me this, and he would hold the back of the pew there, and he was standing by her, and he just held onto it so with his hands. He would not go to the altar. And she said his hands just turned color. It was just holding it so tight. He was in such conviction, but he would not move. And it wasn't very long ago after that he died. Now, I'm not just trying to say stories to scare you, but it's the truth now. We're dealing with God Almighty. Like I said last night, we're dealing with God. I mean, these altar calls and these songs, it's not just something to do, you know, but we're dealing with God Almighty. We are under more responsibility. The saints of God and those that are around, I've been studying about the tabernacle, and in the court, you know, all the people could go in the court. They couldn't go into the holy place or the holy of holies until they sacrificed, you know. But there was people that were just, around the Israelites maybe just was interested in it, and they weren't really sacrificing on the altar any animals for their sins, but they could go on that outer court. You know, I think about sometimes among the saints, there's people that come here, you know, they're just friendly toward the saints. They're interested in what's going on over there at the camp meeting. But as far as them really giving all on the altar and paying the price individually, sacrificing, they're not doing that. They're just kind of being around. But you know, it's going to take a consecration to get anywhere with God. It's going to take some going to the Lord and praying and be serious about it. And the Lord, He knows where you're at tonight. He knows exactly what you need. I don't know exactly what you need. I don't know your problems. I might know a little bit, but I really don't know. You know, but God does. God knows your heart. God knows your life. He knows what you need tonight. He is able to give you what you need. I really wish that we would just, more people among us really need to go to the second work of grace. They get saved, but they need to go on and get the Holy Spirit and get things on the altar and pay the price and give up their self, give up their worldliness, give up their worldly ways, give up their thoughts, give up music or whatever it is. I know we kind of get away from putting, you know, name things that's worldly, but we know there's lots of worldly things the Lord will put His finger on. You know, sometimes the Lord will allow us maybe to get by with something that's really not sin, huh? But maybe we're convicted about it, and He might let you get by with it for a little while. But when the Lord deals with your heart, I remember I told this before, but I won't go into detail. I want to stay in the message, but you know, this is part of it. But I remember when I first got married in 1971, I was just coming with the saints, and I didn't really have the light on the wedding ring, you know, and I didn't wear a lot of jewelry, but I had my wedding ring, and it really meant something to me, and I didn't really want to give it up. But I remember that I had taken it off because my hand was broke out from dish liquid, and I was at service, and dear Brother Humphrey and Sister Humphrey were there, and they would come and minister to us there in Michigan. They would drive many miles from Kentucky to come there and preach to us. And Brother Humphrey was preaching on jewelry and costly array. I didn't even have the ring on. I didn't even have any jewelry on. But it was in my heart. I had plans of putting it right back on. It was in there. And you know, that's the way it is. We might not see each other what's in our heart, but God knows. And God told me right there, you got by with it, but now the light has come. The ring's got to go. I'll lay it aside. And I said, oh, Lord. And the Lord said, this is the message for you. You've got to give it up. And thought come to me like this. I need to tell the saints. I need to testify. And then the devil come along and said, if you testify and tell them you got light on that, you'll never be able to wear it again. And I thought, that's exactly right. That's why I need to tell them. I need to tell them that I've got light. Well, you might say, that sounds like a small thing, Sister Marcia. But this has been our experience all through. The Lord put His finger on us, I'd give it up. I'd go and put it on the altar. And I got up and I told Him, I said, I got the light on it. Brother Humphrey was preaching, I've got the light. I said, it's at home. I'm going to sell it, get rid of it. I sold it right after that and got rid of it. And, you know, it was a temptation. I didn't want it around. But you know, the Lord knows how to deal with our hearts. It might have been a wedding ring, but if I had kept the wedding ring, maybe later I'd been wanted a necklace or earrings or who knows what. But it was just the Lord wanted me to get rid of jewelry. That was it. Get rid of it. You don't need the jewelry. Get rid of it. He said He'd beautify the meek with salvation. And that we don't need adornment like that. He wants to adorn holy women of God by their holiness, by their fruits of their life, not by the outward adornment. I'm glad the saints are the way they are. I really am. You know, the Lord wants us to put things on the altar. We want to read a little bit here, and I may not even read all the scriptures I have, but this has been something I've been feasting on. I'm telling you, It has just blessed my soul. In Genesis 28, we won't read all of it, but I'm going to tell you the story you know about Jacob and Esau, and how Esau hated Jacob because he stole his birthright. And you know, Jacob was told, it says in the 41st verse of the 27th chapter, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand, then I will slay my brother Jacob. And so his mother, if you go on to read the story, Rebekah told him to flee before his brother would kill him. And so Jacob was running. And you know, his mother got him into it anyway. But you know, his mother told him to flee now. So here's poor Jacob. He has to leave his family. But God was watching over him. God knew all what happened. And you know, it says here, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Aaron, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, the 11th verse of the 20th chapter. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, into thy seed. And it said, behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest. And God was talking to him in this dream. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and he set up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. He called it Bethel. And do you have some Bethels in your life? Do you have some Bethels in your life where you put it on the altar and you know just where God saved your soul, where he sanctified you, where he came down and blessed you in such a mighty way? Oh, I tell you, this was a Bethel place. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Oh, he made a vow to God. Oh, if you'll just bless me and let me go back to my family in peace someday. My brother won't hate me no more. My brother won't want to slay me. You know, these things was bothering him, no doubt. He was in a sad place. But he said, if God will just be with me now, this is Bethel. God was with me. Do you know, sometimes you may feel like that. You may feel like, what is going on? Everything's against me. And then God just comes down, and no, God's not against you. And God pours a blessing on you. And it's Bethel. It's Bethel. And you just say, praise God, he's with me. You know, that's the way it is with Jacob. Do you have a Bethel tonight? You know, I think all the good messages that we've heard, they're for a reason, dear ones. It's for us to move and put things on the altar, move up, get closer to God. We need to get closer to the Lord and move. I want maybe to turn to all these scriptures, but Psalm 62 and 8 says, pour out your heart. We need to pour our heart to the Lord. The Lord wants us to pour our heart. I thought about Exodus 3 and 2. I might not go to all these scriptures, but the burning bush. Just think of what a blessing that was when God was getting ready to call Moses, and he turned aside and saw this bush on fire, but the bush didn't consume, but it was on fire. That's a miracle. That's something, a miracle. But God was there. And he said, and God said to him, and he said, draw nigh, not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Holy ground. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You know, we read stories about the pioneer ministers, or we read things about other people, and we think, you know, people, the disciples in the Bible, do you know they're just human beings just like us. We can get close to God. We can put things on the altar. We can pray to the Lord and get closer to the Lord. And closer to the Lord. One of my favorite scriptures when I got saved was, "He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be saved." Or, "He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness." Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's the one. That's the one. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever think I'm saved and everything's okay. Or I'm saved and sanctified and everything's okay. Don't ever think that way. Hunger more. Thirst more. Keep stirring yourself. Ask the Lord to help you to keep stirred up. You know, the Lord wants to do that. I was thinking about, I'm trying to think of their names, but remember when they went over to Canaan land to spy out, and was it Joshua and Caleb, or I'm getting them right? They came out with a good report. Who was that? Yeah, Joshua and Caleb. They came with a good report. The others had the bad report, but they came with a good report. And they said, "We are well able to take these giants. We're well able to get this milk and honey." See, this is what God wants us to think positive like this. Oh, it's not just positive thinking. It's having faith in God. It's know that God took me. I had Bethel places in my life. And the Lord is going to take me through this one. And sometimes problems come up that overwhelm us. And they're hard on the flesh. And if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't know how I'm going to get through this one. But you know that we go to the Lord in our secret closets of prayer. Saints, that's the secret. Get down low. I remember a story. One time Brother Sam was preaching. He said he got so low. Do you remember that message? He said he crawled under the sewing machine. Do you remember that? He got so low. He felt like he had to get right on the floor and lay down flat. And then he crawled. That wasn't even good enough. He crawled right under the sewing machine, kept praying to God. And God answered his prayers and helped him. And you wonder, when Brother Sands got up and he preached on sanctification and what power he had, was because he had his Bethels. He had his places of prayer. It's for all of us. All of us can have that. Oh, I thank the Lord for the burning bushes and all the things that the Lord does for us. This song had been coming to me. It was written in 1756, but it says, "Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood." And this verse, I used to think, well, that's kind of a strange verse to say. It says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God of love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Before we're sanctified, we have that prone to wander. Prone to leave the God I love. We don't want to, but there's something in us that needs to be purged out of us. This inbred sin that gives a purge out of us. And God can send the fire of the Holy Ghost to purge you and seal your heart that you won't wander no more. You won't be prone to wander no more. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God of love. You know, the devil, he wants to try to get you. He wants to try to get us. But praise God, the Holy Spirit is sent to give us power to live a holy life, to take us all the way to the very end. We don't have to backslide. Some people do, but we don't have to. Because God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit to seal our heart forever. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? Oh, I thank the Lord that he is the door. In John 10, it says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." You know, it says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And it says in the 9th verse, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Jesus is the door. When we instruct people at the altar, we say, pray to the Lord Jesus. He can give you what you need. We can pray, we can agree with them, but they've got to meet it at the altar. They've got to meet Jesus. He's our door. We can't be saved without. You know, I was saved many years, probably, or quite a while, I'll say that. It was maybe many years because I came to Monarch pretty quickly. But anyway, I was saved in 71, and I think the summer, because that was like in November, so the next summer at 72, I was at Monarch, so probably a lot of you didn't meet me then. But what I'm just saying, still many days, you didn't even know I was saved, didn't even know my name. But we came into the door of Jesus Christ. There's people right down tonight getting saved somewhere. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, His blood will work a perfect cure, will cleanse the heart and make it pure. The blood, the precious blood of Jesus. Romans 6, we want to read a little bit here. Romans 6. You know, there's one doctrine that I don't like particular at all, and that is sin you will, sin you must, and sin you just can't get over sin. That is the terrible, terrible doctrine, a false doctrine, because Jesus' blood is so powerful. What we're talking about tonight in the Old Testament, the brazen altar, they had to put forth the animals, and it was a bloody, it was gory. It was bloody for the sacrifices and all that. And they had to do that for their sins. But Jesus sacrificed one time for millions and millions of people that has been under that blood and could get saved. Once, that perfect sacrifice. Isn't that wonderful? That Jesus. But it says, what shall, in the sixth chapter of Romans, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There is no excuse for sin. No. It says here, in the sixth verse, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Isn't this true? And it says here, in the tenth verse, for in that he died unto sin once, but he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. See, your mortal body, God cares about your body. The people in the world says you can dress the way you want, you can live the way you want, just, you know, by grace you are saved, just get saved, you can do what you want to do with your body, but just give your soul to God. God cares about your body. He says you will reign in your mortal body. Your mortal body. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. It says here, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, unto God. For God, sin shall not have dominion over you. Praise God. Aren't you glad that sin does not have dominion over us? Praise God. We are saints in light. We are free from sin. We live free from sin every day. Every day. We do not live in sin. We live free from it. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I thank the Lord. It's only God's blood. It's not us. It's His grace. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. And the 18th verse says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Praise God for the servants of righteousness. Oh, the Lord is able to help us. He's able to give us every blessing we need. Romans 12 and 1, we want to read that. Present your bodies. Put it on the altar, dear ones. Give it up. Put whatever it is that's bothering you, put it on the altar. Get clear with God. Get yourself clear with God, completely clear. Whatever comes up in your life, even after you're sanctified, that's what sanctification means, is being dead to yourself. You're promising God, Lord, from this moment, if you'll give me the Holy Spirit, I give my body to you. Whatever you tell me, where you tell me to go, where you tell me to live, I will give up. I will do whatever you tell me to do, Lord. If you tell me to do something, I will be willing to do it, Lord. If you call me to preach, I'm willing to do it. You know why I had to do that? I had to give up myself to be willing to do that. I remember I struggled with that for a while. And I want to go into the detail of it because I'm not. But the reason I tell stories like that sometimes is I know my own experience and I know how I struggle with that. But, you know, I remember when I moved to Guthrie, the Lord put his finger on me again. I had done some preaching in Michigan when I moved to Oklahoma City, I mean. Well, then I moved to Guthrie. And the Lord put his finger on me again. He started dealing with me at home and started, are you willing to do what I told you to do? You haven't been preaching. You haven't been doing what? And I said, Lord, help me. And are you sure this is what you want me to do? I struggle with it. I had to put it on the altar. I had to be willing to do that. I had to be willing to die to myself. You're going to humiliate yourself sometime. I've humiliated. I remember one time at the old chapel when I was younger, I got up to preach. I couldn't get my thoughts together. I just was so embarrassed. And I said, saints, will you pray for me? And there was two big chairs back there. And I got down by the chair and I prayed and I tried again. I couldn't do it. And finally I said, I just need to sit down. I'm sorry. I'm just going to sit down. I tell you what, we need to bear with the preachers and pray for them. You know, the Lord, you know, Brother Austin Wilson, they said when he first started preaching, a lot of the saints told him that they didn't think he was called to preach because they just didn't think he was. I don't know how he was when he first started, but he was one of our mighty men. You know, God used him. And when I met him in his old age, but God used him and he's left many tapes for us and how God's used him. But you know, the devil will fight you. He will fight you for putting things on the altar. He sure will. And the Lord let me know. I was in prayer one day over there, first moved to Guthrie, and the Lord gave me a scripture. He said, if you are willing to do this, but if you are not willing to do this, the gospel, there's a scripture that says, it'll be committed to you. In other words, you could lose your soul if you're not willing. That's the truth. I could have went backwards if I was not willing to put that on the altar and be willing to do it. So does it matter really if we embarrass ourselves sometimes? There's sometimes I get up here and I start crying and my nose is running. I'm so embarrassed. And I just, oh, Lord, why do I do this? Why do I get emotional? Why do I cry? And the Lord, you know, I get humiliated sometimes. And then the Lord gives me another message. Try again. Do it again. Oh, Lord, I was willing. You know, he gives us jobs to do that we've got to do till we die. Well, you think, well, I'm getting older now. But it's not, you can't retire. You can't retire. As long as you can still talk, Moses said, I can't do this, Lord. You want me to lead the children of Israel? What did he finally say? He got angry with Moses. He said, who made your mouth? So you have a stammering tongue. I'll give Aaron. Aaron will help you. He could have healed his mouth. He gave him a thorn in the flesh. Sometimes we have thorns in the flesh. But you know what? He wants to get us to heaven. That's what he's concerned about. What is the Lord talking to you about? Maybe the Lord wants you to be a preacher. Maybe the Lord wants you to be a Sunday school teacher. Maybe the Lord's working with you on something and you're not willing to do it. You're not willing to put yourself on the altar. You're thinking too much of yourself. You don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to be humiliated. I remember that day over at the old chapel, I finally sat down and then a brother got up before they preached and told how much I showed humility and how I was, and I was making it even worse. I just wondered if there was a hole in the floor, saw me one out so I could go down and out. I was so embarrassed. It was just making it, but he didn't mean to make it worse, but I just wish they'd go on with the message. You know? But you know, dear ones, we've got to just die to ourselves. We got to be willing to die to ourselves. We got to put it on the altar. The Lord wants to help us. He wants to help us make it to heaven. You know, the enemy's after us, but praise God, he does not have us. And he does not. We belong to God. We belong to God. And he's going to help us get to heaven. So this says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Lord wants holiness. And I tell you, that's all he's going to accept. Holy. Holy. When we get ready to die, we better be holy. we better be ready, because there's, you know, we expect Jesus to come after us and the holy angels to come. Well, we better be holy. And we better have the Lord with us if we expect to come out of that grave and have the power to rise up to Jesus. We better be living right when we die. You know, it's a serious thing, isn't it? Put your all on the altar. I'm almost done here. Revelations 1 and 5. Is your all on the altar tonight? A sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the spirit control? It says, 1 and 5 of Revelation, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And Lord willing, just one more scripture in Hebrews I'd like to read. You know, the Lord, he is able to save us to the uttermost. You know, they had all these ordinances and they did all these things. But it says here in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, it says, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know, his blood is powerful. There's nothing that we can't put on the altar tonight. There's nothing that we can't. God can help us. You know, the Lord, he's been talking to me in this meeting, and I'm challenged to be, you know, I believe I'm a good wife, but I'm challenged, I'm not saying this boastfully, but I'm challenged to be a better wife. I'm challenged to be a better mother, a better grandmother, a better minister, do everything I can to read the Bible more, study. I'm challenged. Are you challenged? Are you challenged to be a little bit more? It says, are you willing to go another mile? You know, and it says, if they ask you to go a mile, go with them twain. You know, the story about was that as they was walking along, they would carry their bags a mile. They were required to do that, to do at least take their bags and help them for a mile. But the ones that went the extra mile was just volunteer. This is what we're talking about tonight, a lot of it, really. Not all of it, because we have to be saved and sanctified. But there's things that come up after we're sanctified that God wants us to put on the altar. And the Lord will pour a blessing upon you. Pray for me that I'll live for the Lord and be what he wants me to be.